Turn, please, to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and we're reading, beginning with the 11th verse. Hebrews chapter 4, reading from the 11th through the 16th verse, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Please give your attention to the Word of God. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then turn back to the 102nd Psalm. And I'll be reading the first 13 verses, and then verses 23 through 28. Psalm 102, verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. And do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me. In the day that I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. I am like a pelican in the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I lie awake, and I am like a sparrow alone on the housetop. My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me, for I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of your indignation and your wrath. For you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. And then down to the 23rd verse. He weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will change them, and they will be changed. And look at these last two verses. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. And may God bless to us this reading of his own word. In the beginning, God. These are the opening words of the first book of the Bible. If you believe those words, then the rest of that book and the following 65 books of the Bible will make sense. You will not understand every truth in the Bible so that you can explain it and you can say, I fully understand that. Some of those truths are beyond our human comprehension. But what you cannot fully understand, you will accept by faith. These four words tell us that before there were angels, that before there was a universe, before there was an earth, before there was anything, there was God. God was, God is, and God will always be. He is sovereign over the creation that He spoke into being out of nothing. He created the earth as a habitation for mankind, and He is in the process of recreating the earth, of working out His plan for the world and everyone in it. Nothing in heaven or in earth can resist or interfere with His plan. That plan includes the devastation that has been wrought through sin in this world. The sending of a Savior Himself to die for our sins, to redeem all of His people from the Garden of Eden to the end of time. He has ordained the future, at least its future from our viewpoint, of the new heaven and the new earth, wherein will dwell righteousness. Many people in this world wonder if there is a God, and if there is, what kind of a God is He? The Unitarian Universalist would say that God loves everybody, if there is a God. He has no requirements. Everyone will be brought into some kind of heaven, whatever heaven is in their imagination. But the question that many people have is, does God ever change? We live in a changing world. Everything around us is constantly changing. Nothing stays the same for very long. Is that also true of God? Well, the answer to that question is found on every page of the Bible. And it certainly is made clear in this 102nd Psalm. In the opening verses of the Psalm, the psalmist is in deep distress because of the suffering of God's people during the Babylonian captivity. His distress affected his body as well as his soul. Verses 3 through 5. For my days are consumed like smoke. My bones are burned like a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. He suffers the loss of appetite, verse 4. He suffers pain, verse 5. And he suffers insomnia, verse 7. But his suffering, as acute as it was, had not shaken his faith in God. Although his situation appeared to be hopeless, it was not hopeless. Verse 12. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. He recalls the destruction of his beloved city, Jerusalem, by the Babylonians. And he writes in 13 through 16, you will arise and have mercy on Zion, Jerusalem, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. And verses 19 and 20 refer primarily to the Jewish captives, but indirectly to all who are held captive by sin. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven, the Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. Verses 23 and 24 describe the uncertainty of human life. But the psalm closes with one of the most remarkable descriptions of God to be found in the Bible. Now, the author's external circumstances have not changed. He is still sick. He is still held captive. Jerusalem has been reduced to rubble. His circumstances had not changed, but his circumstances did not shake his faith in God. Rather, he did what we need to do in difficult times: turn our attention away from ourselves and look to God. Verses 24 through 28. I said, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. Does God ever change? Well, of course, the obvious answer is no. But you are the same. But what are the implications of this truth of a changeless God now in our lives that we are living right now and in our future? What implications do they have in the struggles of life that we have and in the uncertainties that face us each day? The circumstances of the people of Israel had changed. Their nation had been almost destroyed and taken captive by the Babylonians. But the God of Israel had not changed. He was still the same. And like the Israelites, we live in an ever-changing world. But we know I trust that we know that the God that we serve is changeless. And a reminder of that truth should serve to encourage and comfort us in whatever experience is before us in the days ahead. To trust in the God, as the poetic version says, is evermore the same. I want us to look at two qualities in which God is unchangeable. In His essence, in His purpose, and then finally, I want us to consider our response. But first of all, God is unchangeable in His essence. His essence or substance is perfect and complete, in that nothing can be added to Him and nothing can be taken away from Him. Let's look for a moment at a comparison between the Creator and His creation, man. And I want to use Methuselah as an example. Methuselah lived 969 years, longer than any recorded person's ever lived. But during every hour of those 969 years, Methuselah was changing. The cells of his body were dying, and new cells were being formed. Every day of those 969 years, Methuselah was growing older and weaker. And finally, his body wore out, and he died. But of God, the psalmist wrote, "You are evermore the same, and your years have no end." There was never a time when God was not, nor will there ever be a time when He will cease to be. He does not grow older. He does not mature. He does not improve or evolve. All that He is now, He has ever been and will ever be. In His own words, He spoke through the prophet Malachi, "For I, the Lord, do not change." Chapter 3, verse 6. His words to Moses at the bush that was burning and yet not being consumed, "I am whom I am." If God could improve, He would not have been perfect before the improvement. If God could learn something, He could not have been omniscient, all-knowing. If He could lose something of His essence or substance, the loss would make Him less than perfect. All that God knows, which is everything, He has known from eternity. In Hebrews 4:13, which we read a few moments ago, the author wrote, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from His sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." If God could learn something tomorrow that He does not know today, it might be that what He thought was true yesterday is not true today. If that was possible, and it is not, but if it were, His promises would no longer be dependable. He might or might not keep them depending on how he felt. But because God is changeless in his essence, his word, his promises have been true. They are true, and they will always be true. And that will be true until the end of time. God is unchangeable in his essence, but he's also unchangeable, secondly, in his purpose and his plan. Occasionally there are words in the Bible which might appear to indicate that because of human behavior, God changed his mind and didn't do what he said he would do. For instance, in Jeremiah, God is speaking through his prophet concerning the way he deals with nations. And in the 18th chapter, verses 8 through 10, we read these words. These are the words of God through Jeremiah. And if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil way, I will repent. That's a King James word. Another translation is relent. I will repent of the disaster that I had intended to do to it. And if at any other time I declare concerning a nation or kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to me or my voice, then I will relent of the good I had intended to do to it. But then in Genesis 6, we read that God saw all the wickedness of the people in Noah's time. And verse 6 says, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. Did God make a mistake? Did God do something that he was sorry for? Did he carry out an action that he later regretted? In our attempt to explain this apparent inconsistency, I want us to look at two truths. First of all, God cannot contradict himself. In Numbers 23:19, we read, God is not man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and I will not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? And the second truth I want you to understand is that the Bible describes God often in terms to accommodate human frailty. The creature, that's us, will never understand the Creator. Because our minds are so limited, God sometimes uses phrases and word pictures that help us to understand a little more of who he is and how he is pleased to carry out his plan in the world. When it appears as though God has changed his mind, as he seemed to do before the flood, when the account says the Lord was sorry that he had made man, we need to understand that the apparent change was in itself a part of the divine plan from eternity. God has not changed. He will not change. He cannot change. When a sinner is brought to saving faith in Christ, God's attitude toward that person is changed from hating him to loving him, but it is a change that is in perfect harmony with his eternal purpose. So when it appears to us as though God somehow has changed or changed his mind or was sorry for what he did. It's simply trying to make us understand that God works in ways that are beyond our comprehension. And we have to believe in that basic concept that God cannot contradict himself. If he did, he would not be God. If he contradicted himself, it means he made a mistake. He cannot do that. He is the perfect, sovereign God in every way. In Jeremiah 31:3, the prophet is speaking of the elect Israelites. He says, "The Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." Well, I'm trying to explain the God that we will never fully understand. I believe in eternity, in heaven. We will be growing in our understanding of God, but we will never fully understand him. Because if we could fully understand him, we would be God. All eternity will be a learning experience of who this God is. How glorious and how wonderful. How beyond our comprehension, even in heaven. And we will worship and bow in humble adoration before him. But there's one other question that we must answer. And that is, what is our response to this changeless God? The God who is supremely perfect. The God who is so perfect he cannot improve. The God who cannot learn anything because he knows everything. The God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who always does what he says he will do. The God who never goes back on a promise. How will we respond? Well, there may be those who say, "Well, I'm not going to respond. I'll let him alone as long as he leaves me alone." Brothers and sisters, we will respond. We will respond in one way or the other. One way is to say, "I'm going to ignore him. I'm going to go my way. I'm going to be my own God." To say, "I know what's best for me. And after all, isn't that what life is all about? Putting me first." That person lives as though he is God. And that way will only lead to eternal death in hell. God said that it would. And he never goes back on his word. The other way can be summed up by two words. Faith and obedience. Trust and obedience, rather. Faith or trust. God is faithful in his goodness to us. Now, we may not see every event in our lives as being good for us. I've had times in my life. We lost a grandson, and I couldn't see how that was good for us. But I like the statement that Spurgeon said. He said, if we are not in hell, everything that God sends is good. And I haven't thought about that in those terms. If we are not in hell, everything that God sends is good. Our trust must be in Jesus Christ, believing that His death paid the penalty for all of our sins, that we recognize that God is absolutely perfect, and only those who are perfect can go to heaven. We can't be perfect. Jesus Christ was. And so we trust in Him. We invite Him into our lives, our hearts. Make Him the Lord of every part of life. And receive that free gift of eternal life. The word that follows trust is obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I just want to leave the word of God with you as we close. Verse 25 of this psalm. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, when we come to this subject of trying to understand more of your greatness, your eternality, your sovereignty, we are so confined by our human mind. We simply are not able to explain deity in a way that we can say, yes, now I know it all. We don't know it all. We never will know it all. But our Father, as we grow in grace, as we are conformed ever closer to the image of Christ, we do understand more and more of that glory. And we are more and more humbled by our own lack of knowledge and growth. But our Father, may we be conformed to that image of Jesus Christ until at last we are in heaven and we see His glory with sinless eyes. For all of our sin, when we are in Christ, has been pardoned and has been forgotten. So may we grow, O God, in our knowledge of You. Give us that understanding that we so desperately need, for it can only come from You. And we ask it all in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.